back to the second hour of the KFPK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Saturdays 5 to 8 right here on KFPK, 1530 AM and 93.1 FM. Well, the striper season continues in the upper river, Grimes, Tisdale, Colusa, and above. And but, it, you know, let's face it, we haven't had the number of fish because we haven't had the water flow up there this year. And that has kind of hurt the fishing, but the guide's getting the limits for people, and occasionally they get some more fish. And to talk about that and what's coming at Lake Orville, Mr. Rob Reimers of Rustic Rob's Guide Service. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Yeah, you know, well, I was listening to Chris Ditter a little bit ago, and I tell you what, if anybody get that Atlas rig dialed in, it's him. But while he was sitting there talking about it, I started thinking about Orville. And a little light bulb went ding off of my head, and I started thinking, why wouldn't that thing work up there for some of those kings?
Why not?
Put it down there trolling. Yeah, I might have something there. Gonna have to get with Chris and find the ins and outs and take it up there and adapt it a little bit and see if we can't make it work.
Well, I just think it's a great idea. It's a little cumbersome, you know. But you know, if you're out there and you have clients and fishing's slow, you got to do everything you can for them, and why not?
Yeah, you know, they feed on schools of pond smelt, so all you got to do is put a little lure on there that's going to remind them of a pond smelt, and then drag a couple of brass cut plugs back behind on the three hooks that, you know, you can have hooks on those lures. Yeah,
sure. It might be easier to use because with the size of the pond smelt are going to be smaller than the size of the baits they use for stripers. So it might be a little easier to pull in the water. And besides, if you just put one of those down, that could be an attractor for, you know, several feet in diameter around the boat. So
Exactly. That's, and you wouldn't need a dodger with it or rotator blade or anything like that.
No.
You know, that's going to be everything in one go right there. We got something going there.
Yeah. Well, I expect a full report within 2 weeks from you.
Well, I know about 2 weeks, but you're going to get one in the future.
Yeah, okay. So what's the latest on the river fishing for the stripers?
All this week, I've been able to scratch out limits. You know, like you've been talking, there's just not a lot of fish up here. And there's not a lot of fish in any one place. You know, you just got to go around and find one that's a few fish and bang you out a couple and then go on and try to find another place and just be persistent and you'll get your fish. You know, you're not going to, you know, you just don't have those big schools where you can catch a lot of fish like, you know, 20, 30, 40 fish days. You're just not going to have that.
Yeah. Well, every year is different, and it's the type of fishing that a lot of people like to do, because otherwise they'd never be in that section, those sections of river. And, you know, trying to figure out in that river, we're just being on that river up there isn't all that bad either. You know, I love it up there.
Yeah.
But it's when you find fish, you know, makes you ask yourself, well, why are these fish right here? And, you know, It's exciting stuff. It is fun stuff. You always got a chance for a big fish, so I can see why people do it. And they get hooked on it. When they get hooked on it, when they can go out and have, you know, 20 and 30 fish days, it's easy to understand why they go there. But they like the type of fishing so much that they'll come back, even though they're going to get a limit of two fish and maybe a couple other hookups. So that just shows you how much people like it.
Yeah, you know, striper fishing is my favorite kind of fishing. Because, you know, you can catch a striper, no matter how you can catch a fish, at one time or another, you can catch a striper that way. You know,
yeah.
Fly fishing, topwater fishing, trolling, bait, you know, throwing swim bait, bait fishing, minnows. You know, no matter what you can like to do, you can catch a striper that way at one time or another.
They're amazing fish. You can catch them in 100 feet deep. Down in certain areas of the bay and up under a bunch of lily pads up in the rivers and sloughs. Amazing.
Yeah, you know, and we catch them up here off the rocks, catch them out in the middle, you know, you can catch them over in the woods because they're in there looking for some minnows, and just different areas at different times of the day. Usually you're going to find your fish close to the bank early in the morning because they've been chasing some minnows up there. Then you get some boat traffic and people banging on the banks and stuff, and then the fish will go down and out, and that's when I fish more in the middle of the river, and, you know, just drag your minnows downstream and have pretty good success with it.
Yeah. Well, now let's turn our attention to Lake Oroville and the salmon in there. We've already got one 10-pounder out of that lake. That attracted a lot of attention. We've been hearing from you that there's still a lot of nice fish in the 5-pound range. Seems like you're going to get a couple of those every time out. What's the latest?
Yeah, you can get them, you know, 5 to 7 pounds is pretty common. I know a couple of friends of mine have been fishing up there, and it seems like they're picking up more fish than in the past, you know, where now you can get up there on a decent day, you can probably catch a couple of limits of fish, you know, 10 fish. Instead of that, you know, 3 or 4 fish in a day, it's getting better. You know, we're getting more into the springtime conditions. People are starting to catch them at 30 and 35 feet, but they're still getting them down at 60, 65 feet. And it seems like the bigger fish are hanging deeper. So my suggestion would be run a couple rods up high and then run a couple down low. You know, that's probably going to be your best bet.
Yeah. You know, I can see the conditions changing. As the water temperature is warm, we're going to establish a thermocline in that lake at some point, maybe a little early now. And until we do, those fish can be all those places you just said.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what's happening is they're starting to slowly move up. When we get into May, you know, I'll go out there, and early in the morning, I'll be fishing 25, 30 feet, and we're just catching fish left and right. But then as the day wears on and, you know, sun shines on the water, they just kind of slowly work down. So you just slowly drop your rigs down a little more and more. What I do a lot of times is I'll fish my back two rods down deeper and my side rods shallower, which side rods tend to catch more fish anyway, you know, because they're going to draw fish in from the side. But, you know, as the morning wears on, you'll notice that you stop catching them on the side rods. You catch them on the back rods. Well, that's telling you you need to drop it down.
Yeah.
You know, when you drop it down to where you start catching those side rods again. And, you know, it seems to work for me.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, Rob, I'm just thinking while we're talking here, you know, when you have clients, you know where the fish are. It's hard to take clients out. And let's see what's going on over here, you know, when you don't want to leave fish to go find some different fish because, you know, your responsibility is with them. But with this new Atlas rig, they might get all over that trying to find their own fish somewhere away from the crowds of the boats.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I've been hearing about more fish spread out in the lake. I've been hearing about more fish up line saddle this year than you normally do. It might be the time of year. You know, and the west wall and the dam have been fishing pretty well, but I'm expecting the east wall to be taken off any day now. In fact, next time I go up there, that's the first place I'm going to go is the east wall and try that. But then again, you know, with the lake being so low, it's going to change your spots around from where you normally fish a little bit because, you know, fish over the east wall, the water's real deep. Now it's, you know, 50, 60 feet, some of the spots where I like to fish. So, yeah. You know, you need a little bit deeper water.
Yeah. Well, I can hardly wait till you get on Oroville because I'm looking forward to getting info there, so... Good luck when you get up there. Thank you.
I'm going to try to hit it this week.
Yeah, good. Good deal. So we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Rob.
All righty. Thank you. Bye.
Rob Reimers, Rustic Rob's Guide Service. To book a trip, 530-632-0051. Excuse me. Scott Laseth, after the break right now, I want to tell you about Collins Lake. You heard how Dan Bucker did up there. Well, the recent activity, a lot of trollers are going 15 to 20 feet deep, and there's a lot of bigger trout coming in. In fact, on their website, this week they have the fishing report dedicated to to groups of fish with at least 1 5-pounder, and you should see the pictures. And others caught a 5 3/4-pounder in the last couple of days on a humdinger, a 5 1/2-pound on a Rapala, 9 1/2-pound caught with night crawlers by the dam, 6-pounder 15 feet deep, 5 1/2-pounder caught trolling with a plug 20 feet deep. The crappie have still yet to materialize. The bass could be on the beds, but the crappie have to be close behind. And there's still a few people catching fish from the bank in the morning, so that's not completely done yet. Collins Lake is loaded with trout. They will be making another trophy plant this coming week. They've emptied all their net pens. Like Dan Bacher said, that lake's got a lot of fish in it. The best way to find out about it, whether camping or just fishing or boat rentals, simply go to collinslake.com. Let's talk to our sporting chef, Mr. Scott Laceth. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Where are you?
I'm home.
Such a rare occurrence these days.
You know, it's about to get worse. After Memorial Weekend, I've got a lot of catching up to do. We've got 13 sporting chefs, 8 fishmonger, and 6 more dead meat shows to shoot this year. So it's
wow.
A busy year.
Well, I tell you what. Remember the days where you were wishing you'd be that busy.
You know, that's how you appreciate being busy, is when you remember what it was like when you're going, gosh,
that's
I wonder
right.
if I'm gonna work this year.
That's right. That's right. You know, hey, I watched the Fishmonger show this morning earlier, and even though it was a rerun from March, it did have something on there that just stood out, and something that we forget and that most people in California don't know, that in 1960, San Diego was the tuna fishing capital of the world.
Oh, it was a big deal. And then regulations changed. You know, everything became dolphin safe and this and that. And so that, you know, there was kind of the San Diego fishermen adjusted. They changed the way they caught fish, got rid of a lot of the gill nets, that kind of thing, but it didn't matter. For a lot of them, it was easier just to go to a different part of the world where it wasn't so restrictive.
Yeah.
And so, you know, now San Diego is just a fraction of what it used to be, but they're trying to bring it back, and that's the story we're hopefully telling. And Fishmonger, if you missed it, is going to run in reruns. The whole series is going to repeat until the end of August on Outdoor Channel.
Okay. Well, that's good because...
Number one on the channel. It was on the week of April 12th. We were number one. I was very happy with that.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous. Well, there's nothing else like it on the air.
Well, and that's kind of what we were looking for. You know, we've got enough, you know... certain kinds of shows, there's plenty of them out there, and the Fishmonger were just trying to tell a story. And for me, after doing TV for as long as I've been doing and just cooking and doing the Dead Meat Show, which is very cool too, it's fun to kind of go a little deeper and tell a real story and tell some history and things.
I agree. So what's up for today? What are we cooking?
I have a little something for people who like it spicy. But this sounds like it's going to be screaming hot, but it's not so hot. I had this for the first time in Costa Rica many years ago. It's called a calypso sauce, and it starts little vegetable oil in a pan, throw in some onion rings, saute those until they're translucent, add a few garlic cloves, a few tablespoons of sugar, and you're going to need this sugar because I'm now going to add 15 habanero peppers with the seeds and stems intact, and saute that for about 2 to 3 minutes more. Dump the whole thing into a blender, add a white vinegar, a quarter cup of limeade concentrate. So the limeade concentrate is going to add the high notes from the lime, but it's also going to have some sweetness in it too to help balance that habanero. A little bit of rum, some dry mustard, pinch of salt, blend the whole thing up, and I'm telling you, it sounds like it's going to be screaming hot, but it's not. It's got some real savory flavors. It's got some heat, and then it's got a little sweet in it, and it's great on chicken. It's great on fish. It's great on duck. It's Calypso sauce, and it's on the sportingchef.com website.
I love it. I love it already.
The original recipe calls for 25 habanero peppers, by the way. I cut it down to 15.
good thing. But, you know, it sounds like once all is done and it's on the fish and everything, it's not going to be as hot as the ingredients make it sound.
No, I don't like screaming hot stuff. Taste the food. This has a lot of flavor. Again, it's Costa Rica. You see it on the tables all the time. It's really good. Calypso sauce.
Okay, Scott, thank you so much. Enjoy your travels.
Hey, man. Talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Scott Lathis, and it's sportingchef.com. You can always get an eye. I don't care what you're cooking. You'll get an idea on how to make it a little bit better by going to that website. I talked to Sandy Watts up at the Fly Shop. We talked earlier about it's not a traditional opener like it used to be, but still a lot of people show up. And people caught some fish. Listen. Sandy, the traditional opener isn't nearly what it is up in your neck of the woods, up in the from Redding to the Dunsmuir, McLeod, and Pitt River and Fall River. But still, people show up for it. And this year, with the water conditions, I would almost expect it was a better than average opener. What was your take on it?
Absolutely. You got that right. You know, like the upper Sac usually experiences real high water at this time of year. Not so. Very, very fishable and been fishing very well. The cod is always under control and it has been fishing well. Very, very good. And Fall River has been doing okay. The fish are finishing up spawning up there and they're just now coming around where they're getting their strength back again. But it's getting better. But we did have a lot of people come in and through and this year. And because this year was a little different because about 3 weeks before the opener, they made the McLeod River, Fall River, and Hat Creek open to year-round fishing.
And so I know. What do you think about it? What's the general consensus about that?
A lot of people, especially those on Fall River, the people who live there and the guys, they don't particularly like it. And they made it to where you can get two fish on the Fall River, and the locals up there are very, very uptight about it. They're not very happy. And
this is after the department came up and held all those meetings, and I hear everybody was kind of surprised with the outcome.
You know, you have all the meetings you want. Those people are going to do exactly what they want to do.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
When they did the same thing with the Pitt River and raising the flows, they had all kinds of people wanting to have a low, so they have kayak stuff. Well, the kayakers hardly ever use it. Now it's high flows year-round rather than maybe just make it seasonal. You know, I thought maybe making it seasonal would have been a better idea. But they took away a lot of the Pitt River when they did that.
Sure, it did. Well, it's like the government itself, on the state departments, the federal, and even the power companies, nobody ever accused them how to properly compromise, and they never have, and we're just stuck with it. But anyway, back to the fishing. How did Hat Creek fish for the opener?
Very good. Very good. In fact, you know, it was one of the ones that opened the year round and fished really good 2 weeks or 3 weeks before the actual opener. But it's still fishing well, and the salmon flies are just starting to show on Hat Creek, and they're actually showing a better numbers on the upper Sac right now and the McLeod.
Yeah. Things off to a good start, and it looks like it's going to get better before it gets worse, right?
No, I agree. And let's say the upper Sac would probably be one of the first ones that will probably get too warm, you know, where it'd be this early and late fishing, but that'll probably be sometime in July and rather than August.
That's Sandy Watts up at the Fly Shop. So basically, the fishing's pretty good now, much better than it normally would be right now. And it's going to get even better, but it's not going to last as long before we start getting into these lower water situations. Fly Shop, the number 530 222 1-800-273-3555. And incidentally, for years and years and years, the fly shop has been staying open late on Friday nights to accommodate travelers. But this year they've done away with it. And I can't blame them because people just came up prepared. The people who traveled up Friday night and didn't stop in the shop. And so they couldn't make it work out. And so they're just closing at 6 o'clock their normal time, just in case you were used, one of the few that stopped by and they tried to make it work, but that was nice, but they can't do it anymore. Let's see, I wanted to let you know, up at Davis Lake, the dock is finally in at Honker Cove, where the boat ramp is. Now, a lot of people feel more comfortable having a dock to put a boat in. And I can understand it. And so we don't get much of a report without it. But now the dock is in at Honker Cove. Next week, we should be getting reports. The people that have been fishing there on their car top boats and kayaks and float tubes have been doing pretty good. I mean, a lot of fish in the 18 to 21 inches and even bigger. So that could be good. Also heard an uptick in the fishing over at Frenchman's Reservoir. You know, the boat ramp over there is fine. It went from real cold weather, got a little bit milder, and the fish really came on. So next week we'll get a good report on both those areas. Gold Lake, I went over that on the way back from Lake Almanor. And, you know, towing a boat up, going over the Gold Lake Road, snowbanks. People looked at me like I was crazy. But anyway, the only road I know into one of the side lakes is the road into Sardine Lake. Now, the Salmon Lake Road looked like it had been plowed, but it didn't look like it had been plowed to pull a boat in there, if you know what I mean. There's no access to Gold Lake. That's still all snowed in. There's no access to Haven Lake, Goose Lake, Snag Lake. And the Yuba River down on the North Fork is running high, as it always is, but not too high to fish. So it's just going to be, you know, fish the sidewaters. When we come back, we'll talk to Mr. Mark Wilson about stripers. Well, we had an earlier striped bass conversation. I know Mark Wilson was out a few times earlier in the week. He's on the air with us now. Good morning, Mr. Mark Wilson.
Howdy, howdy, Bob. Good morning to you.
So what's the latest down there, Mark? What's going on?
Well, I tell you, it continues to be that bottom of the tide bite. For some reason, they sure like that bottom of the tide, and that's the time. In fact, a couple of my friends fish later on this week, and they didn't leave Sacramento till 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, get down there for 10:30, bottom of the tide bite. And they did very well in short time of fish instead of spending several hours out there trying to catch a fish. They went down there and caught them in 2 or 3 hours and come on home. So I like fishing. I like to get down there and do things. But one day we fished the Sacramento River, and we worked hard for our fish. We got the bigger tides around that full moon, and the fish just didn't want to go. But that bottom of the tide, they turn on for an hour or so, and then it was over, and might as well come on home. It was hard to find fish after that. We did pretty good on Monday, and Tuesday I decided to do something a little different because there was nothing really going on till the bottom of the tide. So we moved over to the San Joaquin side and we trolled over there between the mouth of Three Mile Slough and the barges. And I just kept working back and forth and back and forth. And bang, I'd pick one up and back and forth. And I'd pick another one up. And by the time the morning was pretty much over, I got ready to make that run over to the bottom of the tide bite. We had put about 8 fish in the boat with a 19-pounder on a rattle trap. So that was really exciting to catch that big fish. And so then after that was kind of slowed down. I wanted to hit that bottom of the tide bite over the sack. I ran back over there and
caught a few more fish and quit about 1:30 and went home. So that kind of worked out pretty good too.
Yeah,
not
I'll say.
Not much pressure on the second on the San Joaquin side. There's only a few boats working over there. It's a little bit different on the SAC side. And we work basically from the West Bank right straight across from the mouth of 3 Mile down to light standard 11. So that's about a 5 mile stretch, 4 mile stretch, and a lot of room if you go down below. But everybody seems to hold on that upper end, and there's fish being caught up there, but it kind of gets a little congested with boat traffic, people working in 25 foot, 30 foot of water. And I saw them catch a couple of fish out there, and to my I just can't figure out why they want to be out there trolling. I don't know how deep they were. It looked like they were trolling those areas. They're going to go about 12, 13 feet down, 14 maybe, in 30 foot of water. But I saw them catch a couple of fish all the way into about 6-7 foot. So pick your lane, go port to port, and pretty soon you got a big opening. You got water in front of you and nobody around.
Sure.
But it seemed like everybody was catching fish.
Hey, Mark, let me ask you, you suppose the bottom of the tide is good because of the big tides we have, and then that current relaxes a little bit and the grass goes away? What do you think?
That relaxing tide, the slow down period, and the first part of the startup has been the key to catching the fish. Now, this coming week, I think we're going to have smaller tides. That bite window might extend and get a little bit bigger. You might have a 2 or 3 hour bite window. So I'm looking forward to that. And another thing, too, you hear the guys crying upriver, there's not as many fish this year. Well, this year seems like to be more fish down here spawning because we've had those spurts of 30, 40 fish days, those fish holding around. They disappear, and then 2 or 3 days later, there's another group of fish in there. And a couple weeks ago, I caught fish with yellow eggs. Now they're all green. The males are dribbling or squirting a little bit. So spawning activity is happening right there in the Rio Vista area in big numbers. And if you go up towards Isleton, there's no fish up that way this year. I don't know. They're just not getting up there, maybe because of the low flow and the clear water. But it seems like once you get down below the Rio Vista Bridge, you got bigger water and heavier current, and that's where the fish are holding this year.
Okay, Mark. Well, that sums it up right there. Thank you, and I'll be anxious to see if more fish move in by next week. Have a good week out there.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Okay. Mark Wilson out doing it. He'll find the fish. Well, I was up at Lake Almanor, haven't been up there for several years, and I asked myself why. First of all, it's just such a beautiful area, especially now with snow still on the mountains and a Mount Lassen overlooking everything. We stayed at Quail Lodge, which is a lodge. I'll tell you more about it later, but it's designed for fishermen and fishermen with boats. Everything is accommodated. But the owner, John Crotty, is also a fishing guide, and we had a lot of chance to talk while I was there, and a strange thing happened out on the lake. There was this massive insect hatch, midges, as they say, about a size 14 if you're a fly fisherman. And it seems like every fish in the lake was keying in on that because the fishing dropped to nothing for bass and trout for a couple of days. But I heard yesterday it picked up back up, and I have John on the line now to tell us about it. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, my pleasure, my pleasure. It was sure good to hear that fishing picked back up. Have you ever seen anything like that at Almanor before, John?
In my 7 years up here, Bob, that's the most prolific hatch that I've seen.
It was just amazing. I mean, there was millions of them.
Yeah, it just killed the bite. It killed the bite, and it's actually killed it for like 7-8 days. And yesterday it picked up a little bit. We ended up catching 6 fish yesterday, which seemed like a record day based upon the previous week's performance.
Well, everybody was awful happy with that many fish then, huh?
Yeah. It's been a tough bite. We're actually on the water right now. We're trolling. We're right in Big Springs right now.
Okay. So you're just above the Hamilton branch then, huh?
That's correct. We're just right up there, probably a couple hundred yards above Hamilton branch, trolling into the springs, We're trolling a mile an hour this morning trying to get something going. We haven't had a touch yet, though.
Don't tell me you're using night crawlers.
Yep, we have, I don't have any crawlers on at the moment. We're just trolling some gulps through here. We're trying to get a brown in the boat. We're I'll put some crawlers on here in a little bit. We're going to go over towards Bailey Creek this morning, see if we can get a few rainbows over there after we make a pass through here.
Yeah. Now, yesterday, I think you were over there yesterday. What fish did you catch yesterday, and how big were they?
So yesterday we hooked five fish up at Bailey. And they were all rainbows. Two nice rainbows that were, you know, 3+ pounds, a couple of smaller rainbows, and we lost a good one at the boat. And then we picked up there and came over here to Big Springs, and we ended up catching two really nice browns, 4+ pounds. So, and they were just in great.
That sounds more like Almanor, huh?
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
How deep are you going, John?
Right now we're at 30, 25, 20, and 15. We've kind of got them separated. Yep.
And then as the day wears on, do you go a little bit deeper?
I will. And it depends on the weather too. As the wind picks up, if we get a little wind through here, we're gonna fast roll. We're gonna pull some flies and some hardware over there at Bailey. See if we can get some rainbows.
That's fun fishing when you do that, huh?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And I don't, you know, if your listeners have never fished Almanor before, they really have no idea what they're missing. In my opinion, it's a world-class fishery. There's not too many bodies of water where you can go out and catch a 5-pound smallie, a 5-pound rainbow, or a 5-pound brown.
And occasionally a 5-pound salmon.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you, and there's a lot of reasons for that, but that we'll save that for another time. In the meantime, hey, thanks for taking the time to call in, and good luck today. I know you're enthused by what happened yesterday. Maybe we'll find out next week how the fishing has been, John. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, and thanks for having us on, Bob, and thanks for what you do for our sport.
Okay, John, have a good day.
I'm rubbing the heck out of that dollar today.
Okay. Thanks, John. Okay, that's John Croy. Before we left there, you know, fishing with, so I gave John my lucky gold dollar, and he went out yesterday and got five fish. So I'm taking complete credit for that. That's what he was kidding me about. To book a stay at Quail Lodge or book a trip with John, either or, call 530-284-0861. Okay, after the break, I'm not sure what we're going to do. We're going to talk trout, but right now I want to tell you about Comanche. You know, Comanche, of all the planning they've done, Comanche's a big lake. These fish spread out. They spread out throughout the lake. They spread out up near the surface, down to the depths. And a guy that really savvies it is Robbie Dunham. We're going to have him on in less than an hour, telling you exactly what he does to catch fish. But when Comanche's like this, when the trout are biting, the bass are biting, the crappie are biting, the catfish have got to start any time now with this warmer water. It's just a wonderful fish. With the warm water species, you can now fish again from shore and expect to catch some fish with the bass and the crappie. And a lot of people in the campsites do just that on North Shore and South Shore. Now, North Shore is all self-contained tent camping or RVs that are self-contained, and you know, you can camp right along the lake shore. I love it. And on the South Shore, they've got an organized campground that you've never seen before. I mean, with hookups, without hookups, an equestrian camp. Comanche has miles and miles of hiking trails that go up both sides of the lake. I mean, there's everything you want to do there. Just everything you want to do. For camping reservations, for boat rentals, finding out all there is to know, simply go to LakeComancheResort.com or call them and talk to them, 209-763-5121.
Well, on the
east side of the Sierra, all kinds of fishing opportunities occurred this year because of our mild winter. One of them was in the June Lake Loop, all four lakes. And I talked to Jeremy of Ernie's Tackle there last night. Jeremy, I heard the weather was a little questionable, meaning windy, on the east side for last week's trout opener. Did that affect the June Lake Loop as well?
We definitely got the wind and some snow and the cold, but it didn't deter the people that were up here. A few of the marinas didn't let their boats open out on Saturday morning, but that's due to, you know, keeping people safe.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we heard down at other lakes as well. They just kept them off the lake. The rental boats didn't go out anyway. So
yeah, that's not worth having people die and just for money. And, I mean, they wanted their boats out there just as bad as anybody else.
Sure, sure. Did they get a chance to plant this year, or was this all holdovers?
There was a fishing game planted, our loop. They came through before the opener. Our county trophy program also planted the loop. That's funded through the county. And then the marina owners and Ernie's put in another load of fish in the lakes for Gull and Silver Lake. Also another 400 pounds of monster. So they were well stocked for this opener.
You guys got it together. Yeah, everybody works in conjunction up there to make sure that the people that travel long distances aren't going to be disappointed.
Well, we did definitely try. We started a June Lake Loop trophy trout program that we're accepting donations on our chamber website. Also donation buckets around the town of places, hotels and stores, just trying to, you know, to where the businesses ourselves don't have to eat the majority of the cost.
Sure, sure. That's a great. Well, we'll talk about that as the season goes on. But we haven't talked about the actual fishing. Did they catch some fish?
Yeah, we actually had the people that were out there, you know, these people are going to fish come hell high water. Everybody's sick of being, you know, told to be inside. So they were out there, and we had a 10-8 was our biggest, and we had the biggest in the county. And then we had a 10-2 and a 9-11. So we had, you know, there was a lot of good fish, big fish caught, and then people caught limits and tons of 3 to 6 pounders.
Oh, my goodness. Your trophy trout program is awesome.
Yeah, well, it definitely helped for these guys, you know, and I also wanted it to be special for our opening guests because they missed last year. And then,
sure,
you know, usually the fishing's good for about an hour and then it sucks and they just party all weekend. So we made sure that it was going to be good throughout the weekend for these people, for sure.
Well, you did a good job there, that's for sure. So is this the start of periodic plants by both your group and the marinas and the county trophy trout program?
Yeah, the June Lake, our goal is to plant once a week, which would be, once a month, depending on how much money we can try and get more. And then the marine owners, they do their own stocking, and then the county will also stock. I think they stock 3 times a year, so we got one before opener, usually one around 4th of July, and then one around Labor Day.
They have got it together. That's three entities really working together. That's Jeremy from Ernie's Tackle in the town of June Lake. Here's his number, 760-648-7756. Hey, Sacramento Pro Tackle, believe it or not, got another big load of fresh ghost shrimp in. They have it. They're open now. They also, now listen to this, you know, they've had the several different sizes of the herring tray baits and of course, the small size they use for, like, rolling it for salmon in some of our reservoirs. And then they've had some anchovy. Guess what they got in? They got a sardine tray bait in. That is rare. And these are like 6 to 7 inch sardines. They're not the big fish, but they're good quality sardines. That and the ghost shrimp at Sacramento Pro Tackle. They're on Northgate Boulevard, just south of El Camino. Call them at 916-925-0529. Okay, after the break, we are going to go to down in the Delta. And while we're down in the Delta, we're going to talk to two people about kokanee and bass.